Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all hear me out. Express it, express itself. Express itself. Come on, y'all. Express itself. Express itself. Express itself.
Welcome live on Expressions of Blackness, where we are going to express ourselves. I am Beverly Black. It is an honor, privilege, and a pleasure to be back with episode 2 of Expressions of Blackness, hosting live on Tribe Family Channel, a Gumbo for the Soul International Family Brand. Today's guest is David Newby, who is a business and funding consultant. Now, what I love about David is that he knows his business and funding chops, but I want to talk about this viral group that he has going on called the Empowerment Zone. So just a little bit about David before we get there. David Newby is a business and funding consultant. He helps you get capital to start or grow your business or to invest in real estate. David works with hundreds of lenders across the United States. His funding programs range from $10,000 all the way up to $100 million plus. He is the founder of Revive Funding Solutions and has been in the finance space for over 7+ years. With an MBA in global management, he has worked as a business consultant for over 13 years and enjoys helping people grow spiritually, personally, and financially. All of these elements are needed, my take on it. To find out more about David, please join him on LinkedIn via the Empowerment Zone. You can hit him up through bit.ly/join the EZ. Ladies and gentlemen, live on Tribe Family Channel's Expressions of Blackness, please help me welcome a friend of the show, longtime friend of the show, David Newby. What's happening, my brother? How are you?
All right. What a, again, wonderful introduction. Thanks so much for that, Sister Beverly. I'm doing perfectly fine. I hope you are too. Hope all your listeners are doing well. And this, you know, these challenging sometimes times, I like to call them, but I'm doing great and glad to be here once again.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. And thank you so much for being a sponsor of Expressions of Blackness here on Tribe Family Channel. Again, a longtime friend of the show. And all is well here. And, of course, I pray the same. And you said that right. You know, we are in some definite times, and this is no time for people, God's people, or, you know, black people that have the mindset to empower themselves. This is no time for us to sleep because we are in such extenuating times. And, you know, I don't need to say it, but, you know, democracy is, you know, being challenged. Voter suppression is real. The shell game is real when it comes to how, you know, black businesses are funded. Now, you know, I can appreciate all people, but I like to talk about home, and that's where we are going to be live here on Tribe Family Channel, is to talk about home and some of the things that we need to touch on as black entrepreneurs, as black people, as black consumers that pour $1.5+ trillion into this economy, which, you know, not much circumvents that. So it's really a pleasure to be able to speak to you as a funding expert. Your bio mentions, you know, mind, spirituality, and let me go back to your bio, because it mentions spiritually, personally, and financially. So, and I love that you put spiritually first because, you know, we're creatures that believe in the Most High God. And without a foundation of spirituality, you know, we are and would be lost. And that's just how it is. You know, don't call me and refute because I don't want to hear it. If you want to call and listen to the show, 515-605-9741. But a spiritual foundation is necessary. And you mentioned personally. And I want to talk about that part right there personally, because if we can have a sound spiritual foundation and then we can target our own personal self-care, well, perhaps then our financial foundation will be on more stable footing. So
I like that.
Well, I like what you have in the empowerment zone. Again, you have a viral LinkedIn group called the Empowerment Zone. And because you have offerings about, you know, whether people want to make money from home and become a part-time or full-time business funding consultant with no experience, fully trained and supported with a commission and, you know, what have you, we want to delve into what it takes to get to that point, which I want to bring to focus your post about rich versus poor mindset.
And I forgot about that one.
You be hitting the dome hard, and then you keep it moving. See, and that's another thing I like about your post, because you know it makes you think, and people, you know, are posting saying, you know, hey, and you invite them to inbox you. We can take that further if you don't understand. You know, So I want to give you this platform to take it further, and we'll go down the road and let you expound, okay? If that's all right with you.
Absolutely. I mean, I like what you said there a second ago, Beverly, about, you know, you framed it perfectly. You said going from the spiritually, you know, from the spiritually to the personally to the financially. Mm-hmm. Because they got to be right. You can't just have one aspect of it. You know what I mean? So once your spiritual foundation is there, because we need spiritual foundation. There's so much above us that we can't handle. So we got to have, you know, a higher source that we can run to, that being, in my view, God Almighty, that we can run to make sense of all this mess, right? But it can't stop there. We actually have to go into ourselves. How can we be better people? How can we achieve the goals that we have? How can we have a better mindset? How can we manage ourselves a little bit better and be a lot more patient? You know, so personal development, you know, going back to my empowerment zone, that's what the group is about, like personal development and empowerment, to empower people to empower their lives financially and relationships and dating and things like that, right? So personal, for me, I'm a huge stickler, personal development, personal improvement, because I'm not the quintessential you know, person that has it all together. I am not that person, right? I'm the person that has to pray every morning.
You and me both, okay?
I'm so impatient. I'm angry at times, Sister Beverly. I'm like, okay, I got to check that. I got to check my anger. Because I'm quick to, like, backlash when people talk about me on social media and whatnot. Then I got to pinch myself and say, okay, don't do that. You know what I mean? So we
don't engage in that feedback.
Exactly. So, yeah, you know, personal development is key for us growing, especially in terms of, like, financial growth and managing your finances, having a budget and doing right with money, you know, investing and things like that, you know. So that tied in perfectly, you know, those three aspects of it. But the empowerment zone, where I give people the chance to empower one another, to become empowered, to support each other, to love on each other. And, you know, I provide the opportunities. I give them the encouraging posts, as does my other members, including you. You know, you leave your posts every now and then, which is encourages people and give them opportunities.
I really
give them the opportunity.
I appreciate your platform.
Yeah, my pleasure. I wish we had a lot more people, because I want people to come and be loved on and all that stuff. Too much hate in the world, you know, come get empowered, you know.
Yeah.
But,
Yeah.
Right.
Well, right now you're boasting of 11,333 members and counting. I'm going to hit the invite connections button, and we're going to look into this posting on some of the habits that we as entrepreneurs and people in general may have. So one of your postings, like you say, you may have forgotten about it, the rich versus poor mindset. Now, there's two columns, rich mindset, poor mindset. So on the rich mindset side, it says takes action. And on the poor mindset side, it says fears change. Now, what is an example of a rich mindset that takes action and a poor mindset that fears change?
Ooh, as simple, it's as simple as jumping into the fear. If you got a rich mindset, you're going to have things that kind of like fear you, that make you afraid, right? Reaching out to certain people. You know, having certain conversations, doing certain presentations, right, starting a business, investing money, whatever that thing is, right, that you know that if I just did this, you already sized it up, you already, you know, analyzed the profit and all that stuff, and you said, if I did this, this would make me, and then you become a little bit fear, you know, afraid, right? That's when you jump into it. You got to go for it. So taking action in light of the fear, that's what separates the rich mindset from the poor person that fears the change or fears the threat or fears, you know, what could happen. The rich mindset, they do it in light of the fear, and they do it again and they do it again, and they don't fear the fall. You know what I mean? Like the mistakes or the possibility of losing it all. They fear it, but they don't let the fear like immobilize them. They jump despite the fear. So that's that, you know, taking action, that's exactly what it is. Find that fear, find that pressure, and jump into it with all your heart, like you're playing a game of chicken against the fear.
Wow.
But you're willing to crash. You got to be willing to crash.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay. Well, that is a profound answer, and I really appreciate how you phrased that, because, you know, we can fear something and – you know, like you said, we've checked it all out. We've done everything. Now it's time to take action. And then we become immobilized because why? Because now we're becoming, you know, a little circumspect, you know, fear setting in, the what ifs. Well, what if I fail, or what if I fall, or what if? And so I like the way you phrased that, you know, jumping right in, facing the fear.
That's it.
So the next line is the rich mindset quits bad habits. The poor mindset misses the old days. Give us some feedback.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, like, if you lose enough, you know, and you go back to those bad habits and you're trying to, quote-unquote, become rich and make money and all that stuff, you start counting that stuff up. Like, say, for example, you have a problem with alcohol, right? Or you have a problem with going out to clubs every weekend and spending more than you make and all this stuff. If you're trying to be rich, you do that enough, hey, look, you want to start counting that budget up and seeing where that money is going. So that's a bad habit, spending on the wrong things. Let me give you a quick example of that. I'm being totally transparent, okay? Back in the day, in my yeah, I'm real, Beverly, you know me. But, you know, back in the day, in my my young weed smoking days, you know, I used to smoke a lot of weed with my friends and all that stuff. And one night, I was like 22 years old. I went out there and got me some good weed, and I was smoking it, and I was eyes, I don't know what. I ordered me a whole pizza, like an extra large pizza, and I'm a small guy, right? I ate that whole thing while I was smoking by the windowsill with my light off, right? And I ate the pizza, and I was so full after that. And then I was just thinking, like, okay, I smoked the weed, I was high and everything, and I'm like, what am I doing with my life? Like, what is this continued cycle? What is it going to do for me? Where is it going to take me? How much money has it made me? And, you know, after that, I said, look, I'm done. I'm getting my life together. That's when I went to college. I went out there and got my degrees. I went and started my business.
Wow.
I got serious. Now, after that, I smoked weed a few more times. I ain't going to lie about it. But eventually I stopped. I'm not knocking anybody that smokes weed. I'm just saying that for me at the time,
right.
That wasn't, it wasn't my thing because it
but
was for
you, it was a bad
progress.
Habit that you addressed.
Exactly.
And you stopped.
Exactly. Yep. So that's the thing. We got to find the habits, the things that stop us, and we got to be willing to get rid of it and see that it really does, it really could take a negative toll on your life, you know. So that's what the mm-hmm. rich mindset do. They find the things and they zap it.
And so by you, you know, smoking a couple of times more, that would be from the poor mindset of missing the old days, you know. And,
yes.
And then when you went back, nothing had changed, and so you were able to leave it alone.
Yes. Missing the old days and missing the old friends, you link up with old friends again, and then, you know, you get back in the old habits, but then, you know, it may take time to get rid of a certain habit that you may find is not good for you. But eventually, if you really focus on your rich goals, you'll eventually break them things, you know. So you got to stay focused and keep moving towards the positive. If drinking ain't your thing, if drinking messes you up and prevents you from achieving your goals, put down the drink or try your best to put down the drink. Me, I used to drink a lot too back in the day. Now I only drink wine every now and then. I can handle that, but I couldn't handle drinking like I did back in the day. So I got to find the habits and say, how much do I want this? Am I willing to put this habit down? Yes, some habits I'm still struggling with, you know, but, you know, we all struggle with certain things, but certain habits will stop you and you got to zap them.
Well, and, you know, after going through COVID, I think we all started drinking wine if we weren't already.
That's right. I'm telling you.
You know, wait, and my mentor, I'm telling you, he's 86 years young, and he will tell me that he is sending me something to go get, you know, some champagne or some Behringer White Zinfandel, and we're celebrating my graduation and this and that. And, you know, I actually scaled back. I'm like, you know what, I'm going to have to, you know, I can't. Even though, you know, it was sent for the indulgence, it was a matter of me not wanting to indulge. And so I had to scale back and, you know, and we all have things that we have to scale back about. So what I like about your answer is that you're so transparent and you keep it real and you humanize it, even though you have this, you know, viral group on LinkedIn called the Empowerment Zone, you will humble yourself enough to be, you know, understandable and reachable and touchable and say, hey, you know I'm human over here. You know, I might, you know, keep things, you know, front and center and keep the group of, over, like I said, 11,333 people. This man manages a group that is just viral with information, and it's about reviving our minds and keeping us flowing. And I appreciate the platform to be able to post and, you know, see the impressions from my postings. And, you know, it does count and it does matter. Now, bad habits take 21 days to break. Any habit that we have, ladies and gentlemen, takes 21 days to break. So you're talking 3 weeks. You're talking a three-week commitment. It can be done. You can do it. I can do it. We all can do it. And there have been habits that I have broken. You know, at one point, oh, my gosh, I love red licorice. And I don't mean Twizzlers. I'm talking about real red vines, right? And, you know, I actually had to quit red vines. You know, I'll go back because, you know, again, we quit bad habits, but then we miss the old days. So I've gone back, but, you know, after 21 days, you will not have the inclination for whatever that habit is that you were trying to break, whether it was to cut sugars out of your diet or to exercise more or to walk or to, you know, just be in the moment, focused and present in the moment. One of the habits that I've vowed is that I was not going to stagger my monthly payments into installments or this or that, you know. So leaving out of December 2023, I paid my bills off up front at the beginning of the month. Mm. It's like, okay, whatever, you know, you do without during the month, you're just doing without it, okay? You better, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know what to tell you. You know, I don't know what to tell you, Beverly, but that's
right.
how it is. That's what it is. And so that's how I broke in the new year, is leaving something into the previous year rather than make a new year commitment. There are things that I just refuse to drag into the next year. I don't mm-hmm. like, you know, new year commitments. So to me, I'm past that as a habit, because what? We're 2 months into this year and going on three. And I've been maintaining yeah. that mindset. You know, I was tempted at the beginning of last month, you know, or this month. You know, we'll break it into, you know, the installments that is allowable. But I quit that bad habit, you know. But they mm-hmm. still want their money, okay?
exactly.
Give them their money, you know,
yep.
give them their money. And I felt so much better just coming into the year and then going into the next month, this month, and I'll do the same next month. And, you know, eventually that will be a habit that, you know, will be on auto pay, mm-hmm. raising the bar on the amount of money that I bring in so that, you know what, okay, it's on auto pay and, you know, not having anything to squawk about, you know, in that regard. So there are different habits. And again, ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Expressions of Blackness live on Tribe Family Channel. I'm Beverly Black, and my guest is a funding guru, I should say, Mr. David Newby he's the founder of Revive. He's a business coach, a global developer, and he is the founder of the Empowerment Zone. Now, I'm going to go back to the list. We're doing the rich versus poor mindset. David, the next point on the rich mindset is does not complain. The next point on the poor mindset is fears of missing out. So does not complain. You came on to the show in the green room telling me I can't complain. So I guess you don't. And,
well, look.
You know, go ahead.
Oh, sorry, Sister Beverly. No, I was going to expound on that point. So I can't say that I don't complain. So, look, I'm a work in progress like everybody else. I got my complaints, but they're not as much as they used to be, right? And the thing is that as you grow and you go higher in your life and yourself and in God, right, the things that you used to be able to get away with, now you can't so much get away with it. So it's like my complaints in general have decreased, but the more I grow in responsibility and maturity and what God wants from me and my impact on people and my influence, now it's like, you know, my complaints are even more because the little things I used to complain about and get away with, now God is like, no, you can't complain about somebody, you know, cutting you off in traffic like you used to. Now you got to even address that. I'm like, I can't complain about that, you know. So yeah, even I struggle with complaining, but the more you're aware of it and you just, you know, kind of like, got to like look at yourself as kind of like, I don't want to say it like this, but look at yourself as almost like a pit bull on a leash, right? And God is the master. He got the leash. And anytime you want to, like, jump out at another dog that's walking by you, God just snatches the leash and zaps you out of your pit bull mode and just tells you to calm down, right? So in real life,
ooh,
I look at it like that. You know how it is. You know, we got those little, points that irritate us, and we're ready to just throw the gloves on or take the gloves off, for that matter, and get busy, right?
Either way,
but,
right?
Yeah, exactly. So that's when we gotta check ourselves, sister, and say, look, I can't complain right here. I'm a king. I got a king up. I'm a queen. I got a queen up. I got an eagle
right.
up. I got to check myself and bite my tongue on this because this person ready to see another side of me. Let me just not complain, water off a duck's back, and let me just be cool, calm, and collected and let them know that they didn't even get to me. Even though they tried their best, water off my back, you know. So, yeah, I struggle with complaining, but, you know, we just got to check that as much as we can and be conscious of what makes us mad, what irritates us. And
right,
put up,
our
like,
triggers.
Responses, exactly, triggers. Put up automatic responses to that. How do we respond when something like that happens again? How do we respond? I bite my tongue. You know, I run to God this time instead of cursing them out. You see, so yeah,
ooh,
we all can complain, but it's not good for us.
Yes. Well, you said that eloquently, and you know, like you said, he snatches us back and pulls the rein on our leash. And, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm the same way, you know, Lord, forgive me, you know, I really can't complain because my provisions, you know, his provisions are met in my life, you know, so it's not my, you know, needs, it's my wants that, you know, rise up. And so that's when I know, you know what, you don't have anything to complain about if you don't sit yourself down, you know. But
mm-hmm.
being human, like you said, you know, we and we aspire higher. You know, we want to we have a higher calling because we set ourselves to a higher degree of expectations. And so
mm-hmm.
a lot of times we may, and I had to check myself today, just like you were saying earlier, you're an eagle, you know, rise up,
mm-hmm.
king, queen, you know, I'm an eagle.
Yep.
And I was just telling somebody earlier, you know, I am an eagle. I do not have any business down there pecking with the chickens. And so, you know, I have to check myself anytime, you know, one may come into view that may, you know, have something to peck at, you know. You're eagle. Why are you even entertaining the thought of being at that level? And the higher
right.
you raise your mind, you know, the more out of reach to the low thinking, low level thinkers that you become. It's just like, you know, it becomes a silly game, you know, because you're
right.
not going to entertain those ignorant levels of thought. And so I really appreciate
exactly.
dialoguing. Ladies and gentlemen, we are live on Expressions of Blackness. My guest, Mr. David Newby, the founder of the Empowerment Zone, speaking truth to power here live on Tribe Family Channel. I'm Beverly Black, and this is a Gumbo for the Soul international family brand. We are going to pause and take a quick commercial break. If you're interested in being a guest here on the Expressions of Blackness or any of our shows here on Tribe Family Channel, email us at tribefamilychannel@gmail.com and we will gladly entertain whatever correspondence you may send to us. Our parent company is Gumbo for the Soul International @gmail.com and we'll be right back after this brief commercial break.
Blessings, everyone. This is Mike Oley. Want to know more about Black history? My dear friend, Dr. Maxine Bryant, boldly takes her audience on an insightful journey covering information about the Black diaspora that's often left out of the history books. From the greatness of ancient Africans who invented toothpaste and performed C-sections to the survival ingenuity of captured and enslaved Africans, to Blacks here in the United States whose inventions included traffic signals and color monitors for desktop computers. Dr. Bryant shares accurate truths. Consider this for a dynamic, thought-provoking, and inspirational experience. I encourage you to retain Dr. Maxine Bryant for your next workshop or conference. All you got to do is contact Patricia and Maltz today to book Dr. Maxine Bryant. 612-685-1258. 612-685-1258. Oh, by the way, tell him Mike Oley sent you.
Dr. Maxine Bryant will be our guest on Expressions of Blackness this Wednesday, 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 7 p.m. Eastern. You don't want to miss this dynamic, thought-provoking leader, professor, author, speaker coach, Dr. Maxine Bryant. I'm Beverly Black, and we are back live on Expressions of Blackness. This is episode 2. My guest speaker is David Newby, business and funding consultant. He has funded programs ranging from 10K all the way up through 100 million plus. He is the founder of Revive Funding Solutions, and you can reach him on LinkedIn.com/in/David G. Newby. Be sure to check out the Empowerment Zone on LinkedIn. And we're going to return back to our list. We're doing rich versus poor mindset, and I'm reading from the list that is in the Empowerment Zone that David has provided, so that we can juxtapose the thought ideas of getting rid of a poor mindset, you know, in place of a rich mindset. Now, the next on the list, David, is helps others succeed. Now, you are really good at that. You have been a supporter of Tribe Family Channel for years, and I mean years, ladies and gentlemen. We have been on the air because of people like David that has sponsored us to be here. He has sponsored this show today for us to be here, and we're grateful for that. So helps others succeed is a rich mindset. Complains constantly is a poor mindset. How can we do more helping others to succeed and less complaining about our own inadequacies?
Yeah, well, absolutely. Well, first off, thank you, Beverly, because you are helping me, and you have been helping me and others more than I'm helping you with your program. So you are already doing what you need. I'm telling you, you know, I mean, like it seems a small thing, but this whole radio platform that you have and the way that you carry it out, very professional, very prompt as far as, like, getting people on the air and off and whatnot. So kudos to you. Keep
Thank
doing
you.
What you're doing, sister. A pleasure.
Thank
so,
you, brother.
Yeah. So helping others, you know, I mean, that's just who we are. You know, that's, you know, I came from that. I came from not having much. I came from, you know, I grew up in the communities, you know, the real communities where you had, you know, the grandmother down the street spanking your butt if you got on the line. You know, I grew up in that era. Yeah, you know, everybody was like family, but you could not disrespect the elders and whatnot, and everybody like raised each other's kids and all that. So when we didn't have something, neighbors had it, or when they didn't have it, we had it. And I learned when I was young to be a giver and to give back and to help people that were less fortunate, right? So I grew a little older, and it pretty much stuck with me. So I've always really been a helper since I was young. And, you know, when it comes to the Empowerment Zone in business, I'm always trying to find a way to help people get resources or connections that I may have that can help their business grow or help them in certain projects that they may have or help them grow personally. So that's just who I am. And that's kind of like the rich mindset. You help others because, you know, service and selling products and services, it's not just about selling products and services. It's about helping people resolve a problem, helping people attain some sort of pleasure that they may want, maybe like money or a vacation or something like that, that may be out of their reach, but you may have the solution for them, right? So helping others, that's the essence of it all. And if you can come somehow like weave profit into that, like come up with a product or service where you can actually get paid for quote unquote doing something you would do anyway, that's the rich mindset. You're looking for ways to help people and not just, quote, unquote, sell people. Like, you know, buy this. No, how can I meet your need? How can I help you? Oh, by the way, I can help you here for free, but if you want this much help, it might cost you on the back end or it might cost you this much money. That's business when you're actually helping people, you know, helping people achieve their goals and things like that. The flip side,
right,
as you said,
right,
was complaining.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, so complaining, I mean, you know, the poor mindset, you just want to complain about the world needs to change and this needs to change. No, get out and be the solution. Well, you know, if it needs to change and you have the ability to do it, you at least have the mindset to think about the fact that it needs to change. How can you contribute to that change, you know? And that's what, you know, the whole group is about, the Empowerment Zone. I'm just one member, entire group. You, as well as everybody else in that group, Beverly, You outshine me. You are way more intelligent than me. You're way more experienced and sophisticated.
Oh, no
and,
way. I love
no,
your...
I'm not... Yeah,
I know
yeah,
you
I mean,
you're
I,
humble
not,
because you're the boss.
well, I'm the founder by the grace of God. God is really the founder, but
yeah.
It's like, see, I can big up my brothers and sisters, and I can give you the kudos
yeah.
where it belongs, without taking away
for
from
sure.
my light. I'm confident in who I am, but when it comes to this radio hosting thing, I ain't got nothing on Beverly. You know, when it comes to this lawyer thing, yeah, I ain't got nothing on John. They are the thing in their respective areas. And, I can say that, you know, all the time. That's what that group is about, helping each other and seeing how we can all prosper. Can I touch on one quick
wow.
point you said earlier, Beverly, about impression?
Oh, absolutely. Sure.
So to you and everybody out there, I'm one that helps other people. Well, I don't want to say it like that. I don't want to toot my own horn. But I'm one that is highly visible on social networks. Many people see me and they know that I'm out there, right? My posts,
right.
if you watch most of my posts on Facebook, I hardly get no likes, no comments, no shares, no nothing, but they're watching, right? So when
right.
I go check my impressions be there, like the views are there, right? But my actual responses, the likes and the shares, nobody's doing it. So guess what? God told me, he said, look, you don't worry about the likes and the comments and the shares and the responses. Worry about the impressions. Because if I got 1,000 impressions on one post, God told me, you left an impression on 1,000 people. That's going to bear fruit in one way, shape, or form. Because when I talk stuff, it's truth, it's powerful, it's profound. More than likely, it came from God. So I don't care who likes or shares or whatever. I left an impression upon you. That's fruit in your life. And it's returning to fruit in my life, whether or not you like, comment, or share on my post. I don't care. I'm going to keep putting it out there. So I say that to you, Beverly. Keep doing your thing. People are watching, and you're leaving your impression on people. And people out there that also have social media, if you're listening, if you're getting the likes that you want or not, keep posting because you're leaving your impression, the 1,000 impressions or the 10,000 impressions, even though you might not get the likes, leave that impression because it comes back to bear fruit in their lives, in your life, and in the world.
And I love that. Thank you so much. That is so encouraging. And this is why you are the founder of the Empowerment Zone. That is empowering indeed. You know, you might not have those likes, but it is those impressions. And what I've been trained and led to do is be in that teaching mode, because best believe people are watching. Like I told you, someone shared something, they didn't even like it. You know, you'll mm-hmm. get impressions, but you won't get the likes, but you'll see the analytics that people have read it, they passed by it, and you don't know what they've taken in. But you know that what you're leaving is like gems, knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
It's empowering information. And so one person may take it and share it with someone and someone else and someone else. And before you don't know it, but the impression,
mm-hmm.
you know, as a metaphor for making a lasting impression, and the analytics on the impressions, which are the numbers that have seen your post. And so it
yeah.
goes to say that an impression can make an impression, basically.
Yes.
And so
yep.
as a teacher and a leader, we're not caught up in whether or not it's gone viral. Yes, you may have a viral group with over 11,333 people and counting and growing. You're not concerned with, oh, whether I got the likes, whether I've got the posts, whether I've got the, you know, you're driving the engine, and you know that every day people are counting on you to post. Imagine if you stop posting. You know,
mm-hmm.
that's taken away from 11,333 people because people are watching and reading. Now, I'm going to tell you what, and I know he's catching a lot of hot water lately, Pastor T.D. Jakes, but I'm not talking about his hot water. I'm going to talk about some manna, mind food that he dropped out there. He had a
mm-hmm.
column that he used to write for, and he wasn't getting a lot of action, interactions, likes, or posts, or what have you, right? So I, you know, told Sarita, his wife, he was going to stop writing it, and he stopped writing it. The paper called him. What happened? Why aren't you, you know, posting and writing? He said, because people aren't liking and, you know, posting. They told him the same thing you just said. Don't worry about whether anybody is liking it. They are reading it. They don't have time to stop and like it. And he was like, oh, okay. He didn't realize that. What is it? The impressions. And he went back to posting, and, you know, people were continuing to read. And so you do want to continue to help others succeed by posting, because the gems that you drop are teachable moments, and you don't know who's learning from what you're posting. And speaking of learning, the next on the list is learns from mistakes. We're, ladies and gentlemen, if you're just tuning in on Expressions of Blackness, I'm Beverly Black, and my guest is David Newby. He is a funding consultant and the founder of the Empowerment Zone. And I get a lot of empowerment from his posts. We're going through one of the posts, Rich versus Poor Mindset, because I feel like this is something that blacks as consumers need to get out of, and that's a poor mindset. We pour $1.5 trillion into this economy, and not $1 circumvents back into our neighborhood. So it sounds like we need to adjust our rich versus poor mindset. So the next on the list is learns from mistakes on the rich side, thinks that rich is evil on the poor side. And I'm going to tell you right now, on the poor side, thinks that rich is evil. Let me tell you something. Until rich people tell you that being evil is not rich, or being rich is not evil, you won't believe them. But when you have a poor mindset, yes, of course you got something against money is the root of all evil. You're gonna start, you know, preaching things that, you know, it's what we do with money that is the root of evil.
That's it. Yep.
So learning from our mistakes, saying money is the root of all evil is one that I'm learning not to do. Tell us some of the mistakes that you have learned from.
Well, I've learned from so many mistakes. My biggest thing is that what I do is when something costs me, monetarily, what cost me something like my peace of mind, or cost me a certain relationship that I wanted, I jot them down. And you know, I jot the things down which are really my mistakes. And I find, like you said earlier, you said triggers, that's not what I need. But like, I find strategies, if you will, to respond to that mistake or to fix it. And then I develop that habit that you talked about earlier, to develop that, you know, to fix that mistake, so I don't do it anymore. It becomes second nature to respond differently. So, for example, if I did something related to a sale, let's just say as a funding consultant, I meet people that come in and they aren't serious about getting funding, right? You meet a few people like that, so you meet like 20 or 30 of them, and they waste your time, and they just, you know, take you down this whole, you know, the path of acting like they're ready to accept the money and apply and all that stuff, and they waste whatever amount of time, and they don't apply, right? You do a few of them like that, you'll get frustrated, and you'll say, look, I got to fix this. So what I do, for example, is I'll write down, okay, what types of people are doing this? What is their profile? How do they talk? What do they look like? What are the triggers? What are the keywords they say during the speech that tells me that they're faking, right? So I write that down, Beverly. I write it down, and I study it. I practice it, and I find different, I guess you can say, words to get their BS to the surface, because I want to identify. That's it. I want to identify it 1 minute into the conversation instead of 10 hours of us going back and forth through emails and all that, right? Because time is money. So I say, look, identify that. Yeah, you know, I'm speaking to somebody. But it's like the mistakes of entertaining that nonsense. You know, you do that enough times, and then you develop the habits to really get rid of it. And then you start to close more sales, and you have a higher conversion rate, and the people are taking you more serious. And when they meet me, they say, oh, he's no nonsense. Yeah, I'm no nonsense because I've dealt with enough nonsense to be no nonsense. So, you know, that's what I do in terms of any mistakes I make. You know, I just write it down and I practice it. And you said earlier, right, the 21-day habit. Some habits may take a year to develop. It depends on the habit. I've had habits took me, you know, 1 or 2 years to actually make it a part of who I am because I struggle with certain things, right? Some habits take 21 days. Some habits take 6 months. But whatever that thing is, if it's a mistake or something you're making, write it down and master it so that you have a good solution to it that brings you in profit or improves your life as opposed to keep making the same mistake. You got to really don't just let it sit there. Fix it and get it on the ASAP. Don't wait forever because, you know, if you wait forever to do it, you're just filling your own life and your own success up. Identify it immediately. Get on it and make a real concerted effort to really change it.
Woo-wee. I'm going to have to listen to this show again, ladies and gentlemen. David speaking truth to power up in here. That's why I started laughing. You know, when a person starts laughing, you're hitting the nail on the nose with their own experience, right? So,
yeah,
you know, that's why I said cut to the chase because, you know, what I used to do is be on the phone, you know, trying to have the interaction, trying to pull the gems out of the person to see where it is they want to be on their publishing journey. Now, if I have dropped so many gems and given out, you know, proprietary information due to the fact that I'm really wanting you to close on, you know, our consult, and you don't, I have to identify, okay, there is something in my method to where I have to get cut to the chase, get right to the point, you know. And one of the things as far as me getting to the point is putting the price right out there. Let me let you know right now so we can, you know, because I don't have time and I'm not going to waste your time. And the sooner we know that you either have the money or you don't have the money, the faster we're going to go. And then I don't have to sit because what I did is I made the mistake of giving the person. See, when I teach publishing, when I publish a person, I'm teaching them as we go. So I have a 3-page document that I use. And by the time we finish with the consult and the publishing, we filled in so much information that those 3 pages are now 6 pages. But if I give you the document in the beginning before you commit to the consult, I just gave you the proprietary blueprint to not need me to publish your book. And I did that a couple of times, and that was, you know, I thought, ooh, that's a faux pas right there. That is a huge mistake. You cannot do that. And so I now have corrected that. I will give them a welcome new author letter, and that also spells out the payment conditions. And if they don't, you know, adhere to their own commitment, well, all I've done is send them a letter, you know, welcoming them aboard. I haven't given them the blueprint to X me out of, you know, the consult altogether. So I really appreciate your response as well. Constantly learning versus not willing to learn.
Oh, man. Yeah, you got to be. You know, if you want to develop that rich mindset, you got to be constantly learning, you know, not just book knowledge, but book knowledge is one thing, but experiential knowledge. What are you experiencing in life? Like with your situation with that whole contract there, the whole proprietary service there. You got to learn not just from the books, but also from your experiences in life. Learn from God, where he teaches your spirit. You learn, you take notes, and you improve. You seek wisdom. You seek knowledge. You seek understanding. And you look at it like this gold, this precious gold that helps you develop, you know, not just wealth, but your whole life altogether, right? So be hungry for knowledge, but good knowledge. Don't just – see, for me, like, I don't personally, I don't care about useless knowledge. You got a lot of spiritual people out there, not knocking spiritual people or religious people, but many of them get so caught up in all, like, these little different doctrines and all that stuff and this spirit and this spirit. I don't care about – I'm not knocking it, but I don't care about it personally. It's useless knowledge to me. All I need to know is where is God? What does he say? What does he want me to do? Because when I'm in the heat of battle and I need to pull that sword out and cut the devil's neck off, I don't need to know
where
you got the sword from. You know, I don't need to know where the metal it's made from. Give me the sword. Tell me how to use it. Bada bing, bada boom. Right? So you know, that's – yeah, get the knowledge, but don't get useless knowledge. Get something that's useful, profitable, timely, relevant, for you right then and there. You don't need a whole lot of, oh, they did this and this car is this color. I don't care about that right now. I may care about it in 2 years when I go buy that car, you know. But I make my knowledge, I make it useful and practical. So
I love it.
We can't waste time.
It.
We're getting older. We can't waste time. We got to maximize each day, enjoy the moment. I ain't got time for futile conversations and use this knowledge. You know, I learned the right thing.
And, you know, we go back some years, and so, you know, we may have carried a little bit, you know, getting our, training wheels and, you know, riding a little wobbly in the beginning. But, oh, we have this thing mastered now. And I'm laughing because, you know, like you said, I don't have time for useless knowledge. And, again, my mentor, my minister, the leader of the Tougaloo Nine, led, trained, and mentored by the late, great Megan Wiley Evers, the one thing that he knows about me is that I am not getting ready to sit around babbling with no fool. You see, you say useless knowledge, you can best believe, you see. And that's what had me laughing with you is because, you know, you straight to the point, cutthroat. You know, you don't have time for all the useless babblings and, you know, not knocking religion, not knocking spirituality. But, you know, I wrote a quote the other day. I said, you know, people will make you wait until they pour libations out to the ancestors and, you know, dip in the Jordan River before they make a decision.
I saw that. I'm glad. I saw that quote, yeah. See, that's another example.
That
I didn't even like
business.
I saw it, right? Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, that's not business, though. We, you know, we don't have time. Do all your praying about it before you get to me, okay? Because this isn't the church. You know, I'm about my business, and I am on a spiritual foundation. And so that's why, you know, David, and I know you can relate, we don't tarry. Either we're going to do it or we're not. But we don't tarry. Yeah. So well, we're going to take our last commercial break, and then we're going to come right back to Expressions of Blackness. I'm Beverly Black. I'm the creator of Expressions of Blackness on Tribe Family Channel with my special guest, David Newby, business and funding consultant. We'll be right back.
Brooklyn speculative fiction author Kathy Wright Lewis penned and published Mariah Seed, Why Hope Lives Behind Project Walls, Passion's Pride, Return to the Dawning, Mamarelli and Mamarelli's Lessons, children's book series, and a host of poetry anthologies and short stories. Her allegorical, Afrofuturistic works both uncover the history of African Americans in New York City, honors the African ancestors who built the city and those who fought for equality amid centuries of disenfranchisement and massacres. Students in mind, Wright Lewis strategically embedded core knowledge of language skills that ordinarily prevent urban students from mastering language and writing skills within her text. She also uses language and culture that connect students of color and invite them on journeys about their lives. For over 35 years, Wright Lewis served Brooklyn youth, adults, and teachers as a high school English teacher, mentor, UFT teacher trainer, and English professor. She continues to serve students through Megar Evers College Center for Black Literature as Program Director of Re-envisioning Our Lives Through Literature, and as Executive Director of her nonprofit Power in the Pen Writing Workshop, Inc., Kathy Wright Lewis, where culture and literacy and spirit meet.
And welcome back live to Expressions of Blackness. I am Beverly Black, and we are live via Tribe Family Channel, a gumbo for the soul international family brand. If you want to have your spotlight on Tribe Family Channel, send us an email, tribefamilychannel@gmail.com. We're also located on gumboforthesoulinternational.com. You can fill out the form and reach us through our publishing arm, Gumbo for the Soul Publications, at gumbofortheSoulInternational.com, all grammatically spelled out. Now, David, our last verses, rich versus poor mindset. Rich mindset lives in the future. Poor mindset afraid of investing. Go ahead.
Yeah, you got to have a vision. Where do you want to go? Where do you want to be in whatever it is, a year from now, a month from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now? You have to have, I like to say it like, you know, when you say you live in the future, think of it like you're a track star, right? You're running the hurdles, okay? And, you know, you have an ultimate goal to cross all the hurdles and then hit the finish line first, okay? So the long-term vision represents the finish line. It represents you actually crossing the finish line first, right? You got to keep your eye on that, although you can't take your eye off of each hurdle in front of you, the next hurdle, the next hurdle, the next hurdle, because if you mess up on the hurdles, you'll fall and you won't end up winning the race because somebody else will probably win, right? So you got to take the short-term goals and you got to jump over them if they're right in front of you. Okay, you did this week. Now you got to do this task or get this done and get this done. But while you're jumping your hurdles, never take your eye off the long-term vision. That's living in the future. So if you have, say, $10,000 or $100,000 or, you know, whatever amount that is, and you want to invest in real estate or something like that, what's the long-term goal of what you want to do? Like, what do you want to, what type of property, you know, what do you want your exit plan to be with that property? Are you going to fix and flip it? Are you going to keep it as a rental? Are you going to turn it to, you know, Airbnb? But the short-term goal is that maybe you got to put it under contract. You know, is it going to be a long-term goal of something that's cash flowing for you to help you with in vacation or whatever? So you got to live in the future, although you're challenged with the present challenges, but live in your vision so that you actually drive towards that vision with all your actions and planning and ideas and things, you know? So that's the rich side. Yeah, you know, that's the rich side. What would the poor side of the equation?
The poor side is, oh, gosh, I closed the browser.
Oh, no problem.
So
don't
we'll
worry
just,
about it.
We'll just expound on perhaps the opposite of what you just said, and that is not having a vision or a, you know, an outlook towards the future, just only living in the moment. How can as a people, live in just the moment, because if we don't have our eye on the ball for the future, we will continue to be those consumers that invest $1.5 trillion in this economy and not $1 recircumvent. So as a funding business consultant, how can we, you know, plan for that future and get out of the habits of just going around that merry-go-round of consumerism and not investing forward?
Yeah, I mean, where there is no vision, the people perish. You know, I believe in the Bible. Maybe not everybody does, but I live by that. Where there is no vision, the people perish. So we got to look at, you know, we got to take our lives serious. And you mentioned a lot of things that we are challenged with in these days. You mentioned it earlier in the program, like, different political things and all this other stuff. Who knows what's happening in the world? So we don't have the luxury of living day by day and just hoping something happens. And I don't know. I'm just living moment to moment. No, you can have your moment to moment, but you better think long term too, because it can affect your financial well-being, not just for you, but your future generations. You know, we want to be able to leave something around for our descendants. We want our wealth, you know, our descendants to be well taken care of. We want to actually, you know, build our communities up. Some people want to leave their legacies. Whatever it may be, we have to think long term. And every dollar that we get, we just can't be wasteful. You know, have a budget. If you get $10 in, think about it like this. How do you break that $10 up? What is your plan with $10? Well, I don't know. I'm just living in the moment. Well, you think God's going to put $1 million in your hand and you can't manage $10? If I get $10, if I get $10, I know exactly where every single penny is going. I have a budget to break that up. I have a budget. How do you budget it? What part is going to saving? What part is going to investing? What part is going to spending? What part is going to tithing if you tithe? You got to break it up. And when you learn to do that, you, all of us, me included, we become good stewards and good managers of what? God's money, because all this earth and everything is God's stuff. Let's not get it mixed up. All the money we got, that's his stuff, right? When we become good stewards and good managers of his stuff, he gives us more. But if you mess that $10 up, why is God going to give you $10 more? We heard the parable of the talents. So we
want
to be right and think long-term and be wise, good stewards with what he gives us. When we think long-term and not just living in the moment, that makes God say, aha, well done, my good and faithful servant. These people over in this country need some food. Here's $1 million. Now I want you to take $500,000 of that, give it to them, take $200,000, put it aside for administrative costs or whatever, and you pocket $200,000 or $300,000 for yourself for your good work. Because with God, I'll leave with this. But with God, there's always a manager's fee, right? In the real world, when you manage somebody's money, there's a management fee. But in God's world, there is a management fee. He calls that blessings. Okay? So when he gives you money to manage, you get your management fee called God's blessings and favor and mercy upon you. You get to keep a portion for your well-being and your family's well-being.
Right. Wow. Well said, my brother. Thank you so much. We ate this hour up, but I want to thank you once again for sponsoring, for being a friend of the tribe, and just for imparting the gems and the knowledge that you always break down when you come to the show. So you're always welcome back anytime. You already know that. And I want to thank you once again. I want you to have a blessed rest of your week. And for those of you that don't know, the Empowerment Revive Funding Solutions, David Newby, funding consultant, can be reached at dnvm22@gmail.com. He is saying that he has opportunities for funding consultants to work from home.
Yes.
He's looking for about 10 people that can work in the U.S. Okay, as funding consultants, if you or anyone you know that needs business capital, you need to get at David. There's commissions and it's great pay, no experience, full of part-time, working the hours, U.S. only, and you can start today. So get at him, dnvm22@gmail.com, Revive Funding Solutions. David Newby, thank you once again for being our guest here on Expressions of Blackness. And
thank you.
It's my pleasure. It's my honor. Anyone that would like to be on a show and spotlight their own hour, hit me up at tribefamilychannel@gmail.com. You can listen to the archive show at blogtalkradio.com/gumbo for the soul. Tribe Family Channel and Expressions of Blackness are Gumbo for the Soul International Family Brands, created by yours truly, All Rights Reserved. Now, stay woke, everybody. We can't afford to, be idle. To paraphrase David, we have to take action. So wake up, everybody, and be conscious. Woke is not enough. God bless and good night.
God bless, everybody. Thank you, Beverly.
Thank you, brother.
Tribe Family Channel.